The Boilermakers head to Minneapolis for the Big Ten tournament after a dominant performance during the regular season in the league. We'll talk about much of that, including the Senior Day festivities and the victory against Wisconsin on Sunday on Gold and Black Radio. I'm Kyle Charters with Brian Newbert. Brian, in a moment, but first this.
Designing and building since 1968, T&W has changed the way people think about construction. T&W's three-stage approach to designing and building is unmatched throughout the construction industry. Learn more about T&W's people, passion, and projects at twdesignbuild.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway.
Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner. AcrePro Midwest Farm Group is your local farmland specialist. With decades of experience in Indiana agriculture, no one knows the market better. Whether you're doing a 1031 exchange or simply buying and selling farmland, your local AcrePro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. Visit acrepro.com or call 765-775-6502 and talk to your local land expert today. Again, 765-775-6502. Now, the Boilermakers accomplished what they set out to accomplish in the regular season, at least, winning a Big Ten championship. And doing so, Brian, in pretty convincing fashion, the Boilermakers winning by three games over the rest of the field. I'm not sure how many times that has happened in Big Ten history. It seems like it cannot have happened that often. The Boilermakers were the dominant team in the Big Ten this year, and certainly they proved it.
Yeah, I remember they put themselves in a bit of a hole, too, with that early loss at Northwestern. That could have gone either way at the end. And, you know, even after that, you know, Purdue's tone was, yeah, we're fine. And then after the Nebraska loss, the tone was, yeah, we're fine. And the tone after the Ohio State loss was, yeah, we're fine. And you always just kind of knew there was kind of an inevitability, not because they said it, but because if you watch Purdue play and you looked at the rest of the Big Ten, there was just no way that the cream wasn't going to rise to the top here. And ultimately, finally, the cream rose to the top and then surpassed the whole glass, so to speak. And, you know, Purdue's clearly the best team in the Big Ten. It wasn't a great Big Ten. So Purdue matching a three-game final margin in the Big Ten standings after doing the same thing last year. I think it was more impressive last year, but you take them however you can get them. I mean, it's preposterous that I'm comparing the impressiveness of Big Ten championships here when Purdue has dominated the last two Big Ten seasons. But this was probably something a lot of people figured would happen, kind of a foregone conclusion coming into this season as soon as Zach Edey announced he was returning.
Yeah,
but not something people should take lightly anyway, because all of these championships are big deals and they all matter. And this is a big part of Purdue's basketball history, a great source of pride for Purdue as a program, but also obviously not their destination here. You know, Purdue has, you know, came into this season wanting to take it one step at a time, wanting to win the conference championship, wanting to win the Big Ten tournament championship, wanting to win Honolulu before that, all that stuff, you know, check, 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 check. And now obviously here comes the NCAA tournament. I think I might've slipped in the Big Ten tournament there before the Big Ten tournament was played. So that's my bad. But the NCAA tournament obviously is going to loom large over how this season is perceived and how, you know, how these guys ultimately feel about how they did this year, right or wrong.
Purdue's senior class was celebrated on Senior Day on Sunday after the victory against Wisconsin. You know, obviously, a lot of victories involved in this group. Obviously, Zach Edey involved in this group. What about those guys sort of stands out to you, having covered them for the last 4 or 5 years, and for some years before that as well.
Just the consistency, just the steadiness, just the kind of the substance they brought to the program. Obviously, I'm talking about substance with Zach Edey when he was the best player in college basketball the last 2 years. But I think all of those guys were really great effort guys. I think they were all very, very selfless. As I've said many times before, I think when you look at this team, you look at you tend to look at Zach Edey, you tend to look at Braden Smith, you tend to look at Fletcher Lawyer, look at Lance Jones, but you got three dudes on this team who started a lot of games, helped Purdue win a lot of games in Mason Gillis, Ethan Morton, Caleb Furst, who had to accept less this year. And all of them, by every account, everything I've seen, everything I've heard, everything I've been told, have done everything right just because they want to win, because they want to make this team better however they can. And obviously Mason Gillis, I'd imagine, is going to be named Sixth Man of the Year in the Big Ten on Tuesday. It's a little bit disingenuous to call him a sixth man because he's essentially a pretty sixth starter. If not, it's co-fifth starter, which I think is the best way to put it. He obviously played a huge role in this. Caleb Furst, Ethan Morton had to do a little bit less this year than they'd done before. But any of those guys, if they're malcontents, if they're about something more than just the team success, whatever it might be, this whole thing might not work. That's really one of the big things about this season for Purdue is the selflessness that I think this team has shown. But all that trickles down from the senior class, including Zach Edey. I mean, for as great a player as he's been, if there's ever been ego there, I've never seen even a hint of it. I think the front-facing manner in which Zach Edey carries himself, whether it's what he says in press conferences, what he does on social media, whatever, how he plays, how he gives the ball up, how he defers to others at times when need be, and how often does Zach Edey have to defer to somebody else? Yeah, he does. I mean, he's as selfless a absolute superstar at the college level as I think I've seen, certainly at Purdue. But no, that's kind of to me what really defines this class. You know, the thing about Zach Edey, as great as he is, as good as Mason Gillis has been, they've always been really high effort guys too, and that's obviously something Purdue really, really prides itself on as a program, wants to define it. They've worked really hard. I mean, you don't get to be Zach Edey, what Zach Edey's become, without having a great work ethic. You know, Mason Gillis has had to get through a lot of injuries and stuff, but he has really, really worked, really, really worked hard. Ethan Morton's just been a great teammate, as I think Caleb Furst called him on the little video testimonial yesterday, the best teammate he's ever dealt with. I think the senior class, and I think you have to lump in Carson Barrett and Chase Martin. Those last three guys, if not all six of those guys, perfect teammates. Absolute perfect teammates. You cannot ask any more from those guys as teammates, and in a lot of cases, leaders than you've gotten from them. I think that's as high a compliment as you can probably give a class.
So those Big Ten awards will come out on Tuesday. Mason Gillis, very good possibility as the sixth man. Pretty clearly, Zach Edey will be the Big Ten Player of the Year and a member of the first team. Perhaps Braden Smith, a member of the first team, all Big Ten as well. The one that I've been beating the drum here on for the last couple of weeks is that, Brian, absolutely Matt Painter has to be the Big Ten Coach of the Year. I do not want to hear about Chris Collins. I don't want to hear about Fred Hoiberg. If you build a program, you manage a roster, you recruit guys, you develop guys, and you win the Big Ten by 3 games, you deserve to be the Big Ten Coach of the Year. And I don't want to hear anything else. I just don't. Please tell me you
Wow,
agree.
you came in hot there. Yes, I voted for Matt Painter in large part because I think this team is more different than it was last season. This wasn't just Purdue rolling the ball out there and doing this. I think he's done a great job cultivating confidence in this team after what could have been a very traumatic deal last year. I think he's done a great job just in general. I do think this is a situation too where he should have had it last year. And I think there is a component to this where he has to get it at some point. Now, there are two ways to look at this. One is who has the best team and should that guy make it, or who did the best job overachieving, who surprised everybody. And I think you kind of undersold Fred Hoiberg there. I mean, keep in mind, Fred Hoiberg is taking Nebraska to a double bye in the Big Ten tournament. They are going to the NCAA tournament as an at-large. Historically, Nebraska has been terrible. And keep in mind, too, the way Fred Hoiberg has built teams, that's what everyone's doing now. So his lane is now completely occupied. He's been pushed to the side and all of that. I think he did an absolute masterful job this year. And I think Painter should get it. I voted for Painter. But if Fred Hoiberg got it, I don't think he wouldn't be deserving. It's sort of a shame only one coach can get it. I think Ben Johnson did a hell of a job too. So that's how I voted: Matt Painter, Fred Hoiberg, Ben Johnson. But Painter should get it. I do think this wasn't the same Purdue team as last year in any way, shape, or form.
I just think that in this era of NIL and transfer era, you also have to have a component in there when you're considering this award of just roster management, and the ability to recruit guys and keep guys, and then supplement your roster in a way that helps boost your team as a winner. I just think that's a key component. I understand, that expectation then versus reality. If the expectation is low and the reality is a lot better, then yes, that deserves some recognition, and in some cases and in some years, that might be make you the Big Ten Coach of the Year. But I just think that you have to take it an entire look at this picture with Matt Painter and say that he did the best job this year.
Well, I think the Big Ten is a cautionary tale as to just how hard this is nowadays. I mean, Maryland brought back everybody, right? They stunk. Michigan State was a top five team in the league this year, or a top five team in the preseason this year. They were not very good. Indiana went out there and got some high profile transfers, didn't build a roster very well. And they weren't very good, although they ended the season pretty well. Ohio State got its coach fired. Michigan was terrible. This stuff's hard nowadays. Think about the name brands of the programs that I just listed off there.
Oh, I know.
Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Indiana, Maryland. It's not easy. And Painter is built through continuity. And if you want to take a broad view to this particular reward in that sense, that does make a lot of sense to kind of vote it as a program award as much as an individual team award. But at its very core, this is an individual team award. It just so happens that as part of the continuity Purdue's built around it, it did have one of the best teams in the country this year. I do think, bringing everybody back from last season kind of puts you behind the eight ball for awards like this sometimes. But this is not the same team. Lance Jones was a very, very high impact guy. Purdue tweaked its lineups a little bit. Purdue tweaked its playing style. Their change to a more ball screen oriented offense versus a more stationary, post up offense, transformational. And when you win however many games Purdue won last year, you win the Big Ten by 3 games, making bold changes takes courage. You could have just kept on going as you were, but instead you come out of last season, you tell Braden Smith, hey, you're our guy now. We need you being aggressive. We need you scoring. We need you opening up the floor. And we need you weaponizing Zach Edey even more. And as I said before, they could have just kept on going as they were, figuring, okay, some of these guys are going to get better organically. They're going to gain experience and we'll just be better at what we were last year, this year. Instead, they changed. And I think Painter deserves a lot of credit for that. I think that's a big part of this that a lot of outsiders probably don't even notice. They probably don't even realize. They probably just look at Purdue as the exact same team as last year. It's not.
There's probably no better singular play that is an example of how Purdue is different this year than last year than Braden Smith pulling up for that dagger three against Illinois, because he wouldn't have done that last year, and Purdue would have done everything in its power on that possession to get the ball to Zach Edey. Right. And maybe it would have worked to get the ball to Zach Edey, and maybe it wouldn't have worked, but Purdue would have done that for sure last year, and this year's team has more options and has a player in Braden Smith who is willing, whatever it is, he's willing, he wants to, and there's other players on this team too, but he has the ability sort of to be that other sort of alpha guy. And Purdue would not have done that a year ago. That was a prime example of how Purdue is different right now than it was at this time 1 year ago.
Yeah, I think the last 6 minutes of the Illinois game were a absolute microcosm of 1 year to this, or 1 year ago to today. Is, you know, your season ended in the NCAA tournament last year with Zach Edey on the court, and it was basically, other than Zach Edey and maybe Fletcher Lawyer, nobody wanted to shoot.
Yeah.
And now, at the start of March, in your biggest game of the season in terms of the prestige of the opponent, things like that, in a game you don't even have to win because right. You were already going to win the league outright, things like that. You were already going to be a number one seed. You have Zach Edey on the floor surrounded by four guys who all want to shoot it, who all want the ball. And that's the difference in this team in terms of its ability to rise to the moment, to kind of be fearless now, whereas maybe they were, I don't want to say fearful because that kind of emasculates them, but it's just a very different team with a much different level of confidence. This is the most confident Purdue team I've ever been around, on top of the best Purdue team I've ever been around. And, you know, it's just not, there's not even a comparison. You know, when we get to the NCAA tournament, people, the out of towners will write a lot of stories about, hey, how are you guys different from what happened last year? And it's not a story, because there's no comparison to what Purdue was a year ago to what Purdue is right now. Now, did that experience help this team become what it is now? Yeah, probably. So there's a bit of a story there, but this is not even remotely close to being the same Purdue team now as it was a year ago.
You don't think there will be any moments in the NCAA tournament where they get a little tight? I mean, I'm not talking about like moments in the Elite Eight or something like that where the opponent is really, you know, doing something to make a run on you or something, but any moments in an early round against a lower opponent that you sense that Purdue could suddenly get a little bit tight because of what has happened to it in the past?
Well, they've had lots of opportunities to do that this season. I know the NCAA tournament is different from the rest of the season, but, you know, Purdue has responded to pretty much every moment. They have showed up for every game. Their effort, their preparation has been great. They have clearly, in some cases, taken things personally with the way they played against Indiana twice, the way they played against Illinois a couple times. And I just think this team is very different. They're very insulated from that sort of thing. They're pretty fearless. And I just don't see any real warning signs heading into the NCAA tournament. Last year, and I wasn't necessarily as close to it then as I was now because I wasn't around, but there were warning signs last year. There were some trends. You know, Purdue shot the ball badly most of the season. They had those bottoming out games. There were games where Purdue just didn't look like they were playing like the better team. They didn't look like they were carrying themselves like the better team. Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer were obviously laboring under the physical and mental toll of a long freshman season at the highest level they've ever played in, the longest season they've ever played in. It's the opposite now. When you look at the way Fletcher Lawyer is playing right now, I mean, this is entirely different from a year ago. You know, he shot 49% from three-point range in Big Ten play. 49%.
Twitter, Brian, Twitter wanted him benched.
Twitter is not real life. 49%. He was the difference at Illinois. A lot of things went right for Purdue in that game. There were two huge threes made by people other than Fletcher Lawyer in the final minute of that game.
Yeah.
But that 7-0 run after Marcus Demas went on that little 6-0 run, that was the game. That's what swung the game. That's what won the game for Purdue. Now, two of those 7 points came at the free throw line on a stupid foul by Illinois. But Nevertheless, Fletcher Loyer made huge shots. He made huge shots against Wisconsin the other day in a close game. He's an entirely different player right now. And confidence was never an issue for him. I think the physical and mental toll of things, you know, were issues for him. But he's the only guy who made shots against FDU, so we can't point to him as part of the problem last year. But no, there is just really, really no correlation between what happened last year and what happened this year, other than the uniforms.
Purdue will go up to Minneapolis this week to play in the Big Ten tournament. The results really don't matter in terms of where Purdue is going to end up in the NCAA tournament. It would not seem. It seems like Purdue is the one seed in the Midwest, Indianapolis, then Detroit. It would take, I don't even know what to happen for that not to happen. I don't even think, you know, I don't think it can at this point. So, you know, that all said, I think Purdue takes this all seriously because that's sort of how the Boilermakers seem to operate here. What's your feelings on the Big Ten tournament, its impact, its whether it matters when you're then also getting ready for the NCAA tournament, and that sort of right now is the bigger picture for Purdue. What's your stance on all of that?
Keep winning championships, keep building momentum, you know, stuff like that. I just think these opportunities don't come along very often to have a team like this. When you have a team like this and you leave championships on the table, I think that's something that's very unfulfilling. That team a couple of years ago that they had that didn't win the Big Ten in the regular season or win the Big Ten tournament and then lost in the Sweet 16, obviously to a double-digit seed, that was as unfulfilling a season as I think I've ever been around. And I think there was a toll on that team that kind of came from it. And I think by the end of that, some people were ready to be done because it was just so, I can't think of a better word than unfulfilling to have had a team like that that reached number one in the country and to not come away with any championships.
Yeah.
I think was something that was really, really regrettable. And I don't know if people viewed it that way in the moment, but when you look back on it, I just think you don't get these opportunities every year to have a team like this that, you know, can and should just stack rings on top of rings. To not do it is kind of leaving money on the table. So I think Purdue just, anytime you have a chance to win a championship, go win the championship.
Yeah.
That's my view anyway. I know people look at it like, well, you can get extra rest. I don't think Purdue needs rest. I think they're fine. I think they had two well-timed bye weeks late in the year. I think they're in much better shape physically and mentally, and that's a big part of this, than they were a year ago. And I just think that the rest thing is overblown. And if you're thinking more games equals more opportunities for injury, well, you're just expecting horrible things to happen. I don't think that's part of the calculus at all.
Yeah. 1 week from now, will we all be excited about Purdue's draw, or will everyone be freaked out about Purdue's draw in the NCAA tournament?
Well, I think that if you're talking about Purdue, I think they're pretty draw proof. I think what'll matter is, you know, obviously that 8-9 game would matter. I think they're going to blow the doors off whoever they play in the first round. To be honest with you, I mean, I know I'm kind of coming in hot with that, but yeah. I just think they're going to be really pissed off against whoever that poor team is who they have to play first. And I wouldn't worry about that draw. You know, the 8-9 game is always tricky because you're getting a credible team. Sometimes you're getting somebody with real talent, and you just never know with the three pointers and things like that.
Sometimes you're playing a team there too that has played its way into the NCAA tournament, which is always a little bit scary. You know, somebody got hot at the end of the year.
Yeah, I guess. But then it's who are you going to get in that two seed, too? Because that very easily could be your path and the team you have to get through to get to where you want to go. Don't want to get too far ahead of things in that regard. Obviously, Purdue for the last 3 years could have been in positions to take things for granted. I probably did as an outside observer. But I just don't see any real vulnerabilities in this team in terms of a horrible matchup. A situation where Purdue just doesn't show up. A random 3-for-27 three-point shooting game, which Purdue has not shown to be in its DNA this year after it kind of was its DNA last year.
Yeah.
And the reason its season ended the way it did. I just think they're pretty safe and secure here in terms of how many different things you have to take away from them offensively now.
Yeah.
You can't just put eight guys in the lane now. And I understand only five guys can be on the floor at once. But you just can't, you can't do what FDU did last year. You know, dare Purdue to make threes, you know, things like that. Purdue's going to put you in ball screens. They have a point guard who's going to make the right decision 90% of the time. You have guys who are going to make threes. You have, you know, I keep coming back to Braden Smith, but you have a point guard who's going to hold your defense accountable to everything. Yeah. If you give him room to score, he's going to score. If you give him open three-point shooters to pass to, they're going to make the shots. If you give him Zach Edey in a role, Zach Edey's going to be hanging on the rim all day, if not pulling it out altogether. It's just, it's a much different Purdue team than it was a year ago. You've got the offensive rebounding. You're good enough on defense. You're going to draw fouls unless the referee is on the take. I'm saying that jokingly, but that's Purdue style. It's there are things that are going to be there every single game that are just really hard to match up with. And yes, they are different from last year. These same things existed last year, but not nearly to the extent they do now. I just think Purdue's pretty insulated from a lot of the stuff that could normally lead to NCAA tournament upsets.
Right. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
At Purdue Federal Credit Union, it's about a relationship. A relationship that goes where you go, wherever you are in life. A relationship that's committed to free financial wellness resources, lower fees, and innovative digital banking solutions. Because we believe in people helping people. Let's build your financial future together. Purdue Federal Credit Union, your trusted financial partner for life. Federally insured by NCUA.
That'll do it for our podcast for this week. If you like the podcast, be sure to subscribe via your favorite podcast app by searching Gold and Black Radio and leave us a 5-star review. That'll do it for the show. For Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Gold and Black Radio.